The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
I am good. I'm in awe of how much news you consume and share during the day. It's always interesting and it's always wonderful to chat to you and get the daily update. So yeah, let's jump right in. Al Jazeera files a lawsuit in ICC over Abu Akla killing. What is happening with that suit?
Okay, so we have been following this story very, very closely since the news broke in May that Shirin Abu Akle, a employee of Al Jazeera, this is the Qatari news agency, many of you are familiar with it, you know it takes a predominantly anti-Israel slant to its news coverage. Well, they have said that they have conducted their own independent investigation and have uncovered new evidence and have subsequently filed a lawsuit with the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Now, the jury, pun intended, is still out whether or not a non-state actor or a news agent or organization like this can actually file a lawsuit at the ICC, because from what I understand about international law and what lawyers have briefed me today, this can only be done at a state level. So we're going to follow this very closely. But let's go back to the events that unfolded in May earlier this year. Shirin Abu Akle, a war correspondent, now a journalist, like me, like many of us, we know that when we go into a situation like this, there is a very, very, very big risk we take. And I'm not even a war correspondent. So war correspondents know when you go into a high conflict situation like this, that you really do so at risk to your own personal safety. We know that there was a heavy exchange of gunfire with Palestinian terrorists, and she was killed in that exchange of fire. We know that the Palestinian coroner who conducted the initial autopsy said that it was indeterminable who fired the fatal shot. We know that an American forensics team, an independent team, conducted their own forensic investigation and said that the bullet was too badly damaged to determine who it was fired from. We know that the IDF conducted their own operational investigation and said, while there is a probability that it could have been the IDF, it is still impossible to draw a conclusion who was responsible. They didn't say they were guilty. Let's make that very, very clear. They said there is a probability. There is also a probability that the fatal bullet could have been fired from a Palestinian gun. Now, Prime Minister Yair Lapid has given his comments. He said no one will interrogate IDF soldiers. No one will preach to us about fighting morals, and certainly not the Al Jazeera network. And we heard from our outgoing finance minister, Avigdor Lieberman, just a short while ago. He said that he doesn't understand why Al Jazeera are still allowed to operate. He said it is completely unacceptable for Al Jazeera to sue Israel and lecture us on morality. It is not logical that this body has the right to broadcast from Israel. I call on the government press office to revoke the press cards of all Al Jazeera reporters in Israeli territory.
And outgoing Chief Justice Gideon Saar appeals to President Herzog to let Netanyahu's mandate expire. What is happening on that front?
So this is also quite an astounding news story breaking today. And this is Gideon Saar. He is the outgoing justice minister. He says that he believes that the government has been finalized and that Netanyahu is only seeking an extension in order to pass what he calls problematic legislation. He says this is pure deception, and he has called on President Herzog to allow the or to not extend the request for a mandate. And he says that this is because Netanyahu and his allies want to pass a series of problematic laws. So one of them would be to replace the Speaker of the Knesset, Miki Levy, even before the next government has been sworn in, which technically they're not really allowed to do. This will come from or be led from the Likud-led bloc. And he says the other one, which is also a huge issue, is passing an amendment to Israel's basic laws, which would enable the leader of Shas, Aryeh Deri, to be sworn in as a minister alongside the rest of the incoming government. And this is controversial because, first of all, there is a possibility that Aryeh Deri will be given the finance ministry, and extremely, extremely problematic because he has been handed a suspended sentence for tax fraud, which happened earlier this year. So it remains to be seen what the president will do, if he will grant an extension, should an extension be asked. But this is where we're sitting at the moment. And of course, we have a lot of controversy surrounding some of the incoming members of the government. Our IDF Chief of Staff, Aviv Kochavi, whose time as Ramatkal comes to an end next month, and whose tenure already has been extended while we found his replacement, has said that the IDF will not allow, and he certainly will fight against allowing Smotrich to appoint generals within the IDF.
We'll have to just keep watching this space, I guess. And the outgoing JNF chief calls on group to donate $1 billion per year to bolster diaspora Jewry.
Well, this is a very interesting story because this is going to start raising debates that maybe Israel does need to have. You know, we are a strong country now. And while there are still organizations that do need the donations from our diaspora communities, an organization like Kakal Keren Kayemet in Israel, I'm not talking about outside of Israel, inside Israel, he says should be using their budget to bolster the diaspora communities, which who he believes are under great threat, we know, with rising anti-Semitism, also with many of the young people being torn between what they hear in the media or on university campuses and what the actual reality is, and for some communities, a lot of assimilation. So he believes that it is time for Israel to play more of a role in supporting diaspora communities, and it certainly is going to raise a lot of questions and debates here. This is Shimon Hayek, Samuel Hayek rather. He is an Israeli-born British real estate tycoon. He is a philanthropist. He is somebody who is familiar with the Israeli political scene, and he says that even though this would be a dramatic shift in the role of the JNF, who is 121 years old, set up to help build the state of Israel, maybe it's time to change focus.
Interesting. And that was Rolene Marks. Thank you for joining us again this afternoon with the Israel Report. We'll hopefully be chatting to you again tomorrow at the same time. Have a great afternoon.